This is the Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Here's your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing back a returning guest. It's been a little while. Last time he was on the show was back in October of 2019. I'm talking about no other than First Cobalt Corp. You can find them on the OTCQX under the ticker symbol FTSSF. And if you're up there in Toronto, look them up. They're on the TSX under the ticker symbol FCC. And with us today is the CEO and president of the company, going to bring us up to speed, Mr. Trent Mill. Trent, welcome to the show.
Everett, thank you so much for having me back.
It's been a little while, so before we get into the Q&A, give my listeners just a little bit about statement, who you guys are and what you do.
Sure. So First Cobalt, as the name implies, our commodity is cobalt, essential ingredient to batteries. So we're an electric vehicle story. We've done a lot of work. We're four companies in one, but 3.5 years later, we've got assets in Idaho, we've got assets in Canada, and the flagship focus for us is restarting what will be North America's only cobalt refinery just north of the U.S. border.
Well, you know, every time I turn around, I see Tesla's price hitting a 52-week high, all these other EV companies hitting highs. My question to you is, cobalt prices movement, where are we at on that?
Yeah, we're coming out of a two-year bear market, to be frank. So when I started the company in 2017, it was all the rage. People were talking about cobalt, cannabis, and blockchain. It was good. It was good for capital raising. We put a bunch of assets together. As I say, we merged four companies. But then what happened is, a lot happened. It provoked a lot of artisanal feed coming on stream from the DRC. And with it, it brought child labor, it brought unethical labor practices. And yeah, artisanal mining, not necessarily bad in itself, but it brought out a lot of the bad that comes with the good. And there was an oversupply. And so here we are 2 years later, a lot of that inventory, that production is gone because the prices just don't support it anymore. Those excess inventories are gone. Electric vehicle penetrations in Europe are double where they were last year. And so we're heading in, as we said, up to 2021. The price has been quietly creeping up. And it comes at a great time for us and frankly, a great time as North America is about to see a whole flurry of new vehicles hit the market.
The impact, you know, we just had an election. The impact on EV adoption in America, where do you stand on that? What's your thoughts?
Well, and nothing to do with politics. I'll say that right out of the gate. I think we've never seen a president enter the White House with such an aggressive green agenda, right? A $2 trillion clean energy plan. It includes a tripling of the projected charging station penetrations across America to half a million by 2030. The president-elect has talked about cash for clunkers to trade in, combustion engines for EVs. He wants to create 10 million jobs in new energy, modernizing the fleet of school buses and federal vehicles to EVs, and then bringing back the credit across the continent so that people can get credits for purchasing EVs. And we saw that in China and Europe, right? It's a combination of carrot and stick. You need that initial incentive because we might be 2 years away from cost parity, but we're not there yet. But if you provide the credits and provide some incentives on the other side for manufacturers to do the switch, it has a tremendous impact, and it's not just flipping the vehicles. It creates a lot of jobs, and if we don't move quickly, these jobs, they have gone elsewhere, but it's not too late. I think there's a lot of investments that's gone on in Texas. We've seen it in Georgia. We've seen it in Arizona, Ohio, Michigan, Tennessee. The jobs are there, and we're talking billions of dollars. And so it's exciting, not just for me as a cobalt company. It's exciting for consumers, but it's also exciting for Main Street when you start to see the amount of job creation you can get from really new tech, zero emission vehicle production.
When I hear EV and electric vehicles and the great sprint that's going on, people building all these cars, and then I hear lithium. Why is cobalt so important to this industry?
Yeah, so cobalt is it's a tough mineral to get your hands on. It's rare. It comes at a nickel mines and mostly at a copper mines when we're talking about the type of cobalt that goes into batteries. It plays a role because if you want to get range in America, in the Western world, we need range. We don't want a car that's going to go, 50 or 100 miles. We want 300 mile range. And in order to get that, you need to add nickel. Nickel is what gives you that energy density. But if you're going to have nickel needs cobalt. Cobalt also provides that energy density, but it's rarer and more expensive. But cobalt keeps the battery happy. It keeps the temperature down. So the thermal stability of the battery, it would run away with too much nickel and too much energy density unless you had the cobalt there. And cobalt also gives you that 10-year battery life. We've all seen it with our phones. You know, you get the new smartphone, and a year later it doesn't hold its charge anymore. I mean, that's what cobalt does. It just protects the integrity of the battery. And so it's essential. We've learned to live with less of it, which has helped bring the cost of vehicles down. But it's, you know, despite what people might say or think, it's not coming out of the battery anytime soon.
Your flagship project, if I recall correct, is the Iron Creek Cobalt Project. Is that correct, in Idaho?
On the mineral side, it's a beautiful primary cobalt asset. We've been quiet on that while we advance the main focus, the refinery. But Idaho has a real special place in my heart, and I think it's got a really good future in the world of cobalt. As the price starts to recover here, end of this year into next year, we're going to be back drilling there. I think America, in terms of its reliance on foreign sources of cobalt, the answer is sitting right there in our backyard here in Idaho. We just got to get to it and keep growing the resource. It's a beautiful deposit.
And I don't even know if you can answer this question at this time, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Right now, you guys are pre-revenue. When do you think that revenues will fall on the balance sheet?
Yeah, I can answer that. So, you know, for those who may remember the story or who follow us, you know, it's been a year of hard work. We've done, we partnered with Glencore. They lent us money. We did a feasibility study. And so we are at a point now where we've got, we're hopefully days, but certainly weeks away from announcing some partnerships. The idea for us now is to purchase feed from some of the best, probably two of the best mining operations in the world. Right now, cobalt by and large comes out of the DRC and it goes to China, it goes to Finland. Nothing's coming here. So we're going to follow that same template. We're going to bring it in. We need to raise $60 million U.S. in financing. So you're going to see the first glimpse of that before the end of the calendar year. You're going to see the rest of that start to fall into place in the Q1, and then we'll get to construction. By next summer, we're in construction. We've got a permit amendment. And throughout next year, I hope to start knocking off long-term OEM contracts for feed. We're going to do just like the Finns and the Chinese are doing. We're taking feed from the DRC and bringing it to Canada for processing, because that's where the minerals are. Our plans here, if I look at the end of this year, we're going to announce feed contracts, the first leg of our financing, $60 million U.S. that we need to raise. The second half will come into place in the first quarter of next year, and then we're in construction. And from the time we get our financing, it's just 18 months away from production. So our plan would be to commission starting the second half of 22, and we would have the only supply of cobalt for electric vehicles in America and, frankly, Europe as well, as an outlet at a time when the EV market here is expected to really start booming.
I'm looking at your stock price. American, it's around a little bit under 10 cents. Market cap, very undervalued, my personal opinion, around 40 million. Why should people buy your company now?
Yeah, let me talk about that. If you look at we've been pretty transparent on our cash flow projections here. So our cobalt price assumption heading in long term is about $25. I'll come back to spot in a moment here. But when I look at the cost of the feed that we need to put in and run our operating costs and transportation through it, you know, we're showing an annual margin at that price of about $35 million U.S. a year. Fertilizer companies, whether it be fertilizers or even some of the lithium companies, are often trading at 7 to 9 times EV to EBITDA ratio. We're sitting here at 1. And then we've got all mineral assets, Idaho and elsewhere, that are coming for free. So I see a lot of opportunity. People needed to see a de-risk the asset. And over the next weeks and months, all that's really coming together. And even when I look at spot today, that $35 million coming out of a bear market, we're still sitting at maybe $22 million of cash flow in a difficult market. So really good margins. We needed the partnerships. People will see feed coming out of two of the best mining operations in the world. We're going to be financed by some really big institutions. That's coming along quite well. And then over 2021, we'll start knocking off these long-term offtake contracts with all of the EV companies.
The company that we're highlighting today here on Stock Day is First Cobalt Corp. Again, one of my favorites and very undervalued, but that's my personal opinion. You can find them on the OTCQX under the ticker symbol FTSSF. And if you're up there in Toronto, look them up on the TSX. They're under the ticker symbol FCC. Trent, thank you so much for coming on the show. The only thing I ask, buddy, is that you not wait a whole nother year to come back on.
Yeah, you got it. I have lots to talk about, so I look forward to coming back.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by La Jolla Media LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.